We're waiting for one more member of the board. We'll give them till 5:35 and then we'll start the meeting. 4:35, sorry. I call to order the meeting of the Carson City Regional Transportation Commission. Today is Monday, September 21st. It is 4:33. We are in the Sierra Room at 851 East William Street in Carson City. Kathy, can you give us a roll call, please?
Chairperson Bonkowski.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Smolenski.
Here.
Commissioner Kroll.
Here.
Commissioner Kimbrough.
Here.
Commissioner McQuarrie. Quorum is present.
Thank you, Kathy. We are now on item B, public comment. Is there anybody here that would like to address the board on or commission on any issue related to the RTC? Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person per topic. If your item requires extensive discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future RTC meeting. No action may be taken upon a matter raised under this item of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Is there anybody here for public comment? Seeing none, we will move on to item C, approval of the minutes. Has everybody had a chance to read the minutes? Any corrections or comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay.
Yes. My root votes aye.
Am I going to have to deal with you tonight?
Yes.
The corrected vote is unanimous. It passes. Thanks. We are now on to item D, agenda management notice. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. We may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. And the RTC may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item at any time. Item E, disclosures. Is there any member of the commission that wishes to explain any contact with the public regarding an item on the agenda or business of the commission? I see none. So we will move on to item F. F1, for possible action to approve the staff recommendation on the use of $370,197 transferred from the Carson City General Fund to the Streets Fund. $300,000 will be used to implement a citywide crack repair project through a contractor, and the remainder will be used to fund additional street patching efforts citywide. Who's taking this item?
I am.
Patrick, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, as been mentioned previously at an RTC meeting, and obviously this has been discussed at the Board of Supervisors. The Board of Supervisors this past spring acted to direct funds from the general fund to be transferred to the streets fund for street maintenance. And as we had indicated previously, we are waiting to find out what the amount of those funds would be. As it's mentioned in the form, it's $370,197 that are available. We have taken to heart the direction of the Board of Supervisors, which was that the funds were to be used to make street repairs that were responsive to the comments and complaints and input that we received from the residents of Carson City. And what you have before you is our staff recommendation as to how to expend the funds. We primarily wish to use the funds, a total of approximately $300,000, to retain the services of a contractor to do wide crack repairs. We received a significant number of complaints regarding the condition of roads in our city for various different types of distresses and deterioration. But one thing that is very common and that we hear frequently is the complaint about the wide cracks. And some of these are very significant, 4 to 6 inches wide and sometimes the full depth of the pavement. And we have received numerous comments already. We received them over time, but we've actually been soliciting comments. And we've gotten those comments in the Silver Oak neighborhood quite a bit. We've gotten them in the Northridge neighborhood. We have some wide cracks on the south side as well. And additionally, using the Carson, just very recently, the Carson Connect system, we actually had another complaint that was recently received about the wide cracks on Arrowhead and Convair. So this really is a citywide issue. We are not seeking to restrict ourselves to one specific geographic area. We want to be able to go out and be flexible as far as where we apply this. After preparation of this document, I did have a meeting with the chairman to discuss, and he wanted us to have flexibility not only in geographically but also with the funding. And he suggested that we pursue a contract of $270,000 with a 10% contingency so that we actually have flexibility with that contingency to go over as we go through the work. The remaining funds, as mentioned, would be used to do street patching. We've been doing crack filling in the city, and we have the equipment and the material to do that and staff as well. But we would like to be able to do some more actual patching efforts. So this is actual removal of the asphalt that's deteriorated and replacement with asphalt, and not just in a long crack, but maybe a small section of a roadway. Our expectation would be, if approved, that we would go work on developing the contract to put out to bid, and would come back to you hopefully in November for award, and we would proceed with the work. While that would be the bulk of the work, we would begin with the patching work. We could begin immediately. It wouldn't happen all in 1 week. Obviously, it would happen over the course of the fiscal year, but we could get right to work on making more repairs as we go forward. I will stop there and see what you have for questions and comments.
Do any of the commissioners have any questions? Jim?
Patrick, in the before it goes out to bid and putting together the contract, have you prioritized the worst ones, or is it just a wide scope and it's going to be in that and see what we can get for the bang for the buck?
Well, we don't have a list today of this is exactly where we're going to go. There's definitely some thought that needs to go into this as far as we're not going to have a contractor going from one crack here and then over the other side of the town and growing one crack again. We want it to be efficient and cost effective, and we also have to figure out how we get the most bang for our buck in coordination with our own staff. So, for example, if the contractor is putting in a material into the wide crack and then going over with a sealant, we have to answer questions like, do we want them to do the sealant, or is that something we'd like to do behind them so that they can patch more cracks? We'll have to address things like traffic control, depending on what road you're going to be on. So we have to work through those details for sure. But So we don't have a list yet, but we'll start refining it as we get more, as we review the input more as we go forward. But we do expect to have, as the chairman suggested, flexibility moving forward.
Is it temperature controlled so that when you're looking at November, is this a winter job too, huh?
Actually, it's really quite flexible for temperature. Of course, you're not going to do it when it's covered with snow and ice.
Right.
But no, it's not as temperature sensitive as some of the other things that we do, like the slurry seal or the micro paving. So depending on how the winter goes, we definitely can be doing work out there. And, for example, our own crack fill crew did a lot of work last winter because we didn't have a whole lot of snow and ice.
Any additional questions from the commissioners? Seeing none, I will open this up to public comment. Is there anybody here that wishes to address the commission on this item? I see none, so I will bring this back to the commission for a motion, and I would request whoever makes the motion to take out the $300,000 figure and replace that with the funds, so it says the funds will be used.
Ready? Let me see if I get this right. I move to approve the staff recommendation on the use of the funds transferred from the Carson City General Fund to the Streets Fund. Do we want to say the funds will be used to implement a citywide crack repair project through a contractor, and the remainder will be used to fund additional street patching efforts citywide.
Is there any discussion on this item? Seeing none, all in favor, vote aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. It passes unanimously. Moving on to item F2 for possible action to determine that Sierra Nevada Construction, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS Chapter 338 and to award contract number 1516-029 South Division Street Road Improvement Project for a bid amount of $276,007 plus a contingency amount of $27,600 for a total not to exceed price of $303,607 to be funded from the Street Repair and Maintenance Account 256-3038-431.04-80 as provided in fiscal year 2015-2016 budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're pleased to award this contract. This is a section that was formerly state-owned road, and it's an area where it is in quite disrepair. It's a section where we get frequent calls on from residents, so they're going to be happy to see us out there. And we also were consulting with UNR, who's helping us develop our pavement management program. It's one of the sections that came up as one of the top priorities and kind of a preliminary view. We're also supplementing this work with $100,000 in FTA funds as it's along our transit route. And so that's going into mostly the sidewalk improvements as well. And that's really about it. I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Do any of the commissioners have any questions? Seeing none, I will open this up to public comment. Is there any member that has any public comment on this item? Okay. Seeing none, I will bring it back to the commission and entertain a motion.
Ready?
I'll go ahead.
Go.
I move to determine that Sierra Nevada Construction, Inc. is the lowest responsive and responsible bidder pursuant to NRS 338 and to award contract number 1516-029 South Division Street Road Improvement Project for the bid amount of $276,007 plus a contingency amount of $27,600 for a total not to exceed price of $303,607.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor vote aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. It passes unanimously. Moving on to item F3, possible action to accept 60% design and budget report for the downtown streetscape project. Danny, you take this.
Chair, Danny Rotter, for the record, Public Works. I have Mike Bennett from Loomis, the project manager for the design team, with me. And we're going to kind of run through the overview presentation that we've given a few times before. And I will point out a couple things that have changed since the 30% when we were here last. And have a little bit of discussion on construction schedule at the end. And so this is, as you've seen before, the color illustrative photos that we've shown before. I'll point out the 3rd Street area in here. It's tweaked a little bit. The fountain used to be directly in front of the stage, and we've shifted that since so that it could be utilized if there was a small band playing or what have you, or we could also shut it off, but it seemed to work a little bit better for the space. Along in front of the legislature, there was four spots, two of these little pockets in front of the legislature. They had some real concerns about it being a terrorist target even outside of session, and we've been working with the LCB on alternatives there that would suit that purpose and still provide the project with benefits as well. Here's the next slide. Same here. There's a little bit of parking shift here. In talking with a couple of the businesses and properties here, this was the preferred between the two middle slots there, and so that shifted down a bit. Here's kind of the next section. The major change here was we added in parking in front of the Nugget. We still kind of break up that longer expanse with some trees and some mixtures and paving materials and that sort of thing, but add a couple spots there. Also, the next thing it wasn't a change at this point in time, but we, in the last couple weeks, have met with the property owners on the block north of Robinson in this area. And their concern was having this be the only spot with four parking spots as opposed to two. And kind of the reason we had gone to the two was with a little bit of space in there is to ease the parallel parking in and out in there. And so that kind of defeated our purpose there, but we've worked through and kind of made it match the rest of the corridor there. Up here, getting to the north end of the project, two things I'll point out. We've had a question before and came up again recently. The turning movement from westbound to southbound in this area, while the striping is sort of, you know, diagrammatic at this point, we're planning on pulling that stop bar back, much like on Fairview from westbound to southbound or southbound to eastbound, Carson Street to Fairview, pulling that stop bar back. So that's one thing that'll actually be shown on the plans when it's striped during construction. Another thing we'll point out is the driveways in this area. We originally reduced the access into this site, and we met with the property and business owner, and we felt that while it would have been a benefit to reduce the access further away from the intersection, what we envisioned is a lot of people coming in here and then jetting out to go north. There's a lot of people that come in and head out, and if they cross-cut directly through all the lanes right there, we could see that being as more of a negative than allowing access at that point. So it's not any more access than there was there already, and it's not any less than there is already. Plus, as this site has indicated possibility for redevelopment in the future, could easily be changed up if the businesses and cluster there were to change, which the property owner has indicated to us at some point. Here's just a blow up of 3rd. Here's where we're at in the design schedule. You'll see we went to the Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee with 60%. We're here today with 60%. The 90% in the beginning of November will go to Redevelopment Authority Citizens Committee and RTC, and then for the supervisors for approval mid-November. I'll also point out we're going to the Historic Resource Commission in November, and also we're going to present only to the Parks and Rec Commission in October. One discussion here is we've got our complete 100% design by the end of 2015 and GMP negotiation through January. We expect that we can work out some things to squeeze that in a little bit to go to the first meeting in February in 2015 to award the contract, which would mean ideally the beginning of March being able to move into construction with some of the preliminary utilities and that sort of thing. Hopefully we don't have the mega wet winter, but that wouldn't be a bad thing, I guess. Plan for construction is March through the end of October, having a ribbon-cutting ceremony on the Nevada Day Parade. The preliminary take on the schedule from Q&D is that we do all the underground utilities first, all the way through the corridor, and then we would work likely in the north to south fashion, kind of splitting it up into thirds, and doing both sides of the street for sidewalk, kind of going all the way through the corridor, and then completing the paving all at the end in one swoop, so we have less seams, better product, and also makes traffic control a little bit easier when you're not doing sidewalk and paving together in one work zone. Moving on, here's just some regurgitated information that has been presented before. The total project funding for Carson Street is just over $8.9 million, 6.8 of that from the infrastructure sales tax, 1.3 from water, and 400,000 from sewer and stormwater each. Previously at the RAC meeting, we had shown available for construction, and I wanted to just show a breakdown of where all the remainder of the funds are going. And so planning and design, that was the some of the early MIG planning and graphics, and then the Loomis as part of the design, construction management, testing, inspection, permanent utilities. Those are all estimates at this point, so we're still working through the funding line items there to see how much we can push to construction. And then also through our estimates at the RAC, we'd had a little bit of a delta. Through the CMAR process, we've already met since and worked through various items in double counting quantities and confusion between the CMAR and the design team as to what do you mean fiber optic? I had a 4-foot trench the whole way through, and we can combine those things into one trench and working through the way the CMAR is supposed to be. So at this point, meeting with Q&D and the design team last week, we feel confident in the construction number, and we're going to continue to work through the CMAR process. Same thing for 3rd Street. The percentages are the same, but the number's lower. Redevelopment is doing 490,000 for the 3rd Street section. Water, 25,000. Sewer, 30,000. Stormwater, 44,000. The private donation that was in front of the board earlier this year was from the McFadden family. And I've been in contact with that family, and we worked out some of the questions from their CPAs as sort of how taxes are going to work and how the donation is going to work. And at this point, what we're looking at is doing an escrow account that they would deposit the funds into, and then once the project moved forward and was approved, that would get deposited with the city for payment for construction. So that's still on track. We should be in the next month or so bringing that forward to, they want to have something recorded in front of the board, and so we're going to pair that all up to get that worked out, and that should be going good.
Danny, is that going to be a drawdown then out of the escrow account, and is it going to be used first or last? Have you had those discussions?
We haven't had those discussions. We've just allocated it 100% towards construction, and there's been no indication from the families as to be, they would just, the only escrow we would hold is in case, and for some reason the project didn't move forward, but that's just one's protection for them. So their idea was that it would go towards it and go right to the project. Same thing here for Curry Street, although planned to be in 2018, design rolling through same time. So here's the same similar table there. A little bit less on the infrastructure sales tax, but water fund, almost $700,000, and then a little over $200,000 on sewer and stormwater. Same percentage breakdown on available for construction planning, that sort of stuff. And that's all I have there. If there's any questions, I also have Mike here if there's any questions.
Afternoon, Danny. Hi, Mike. Question, you're familiar with the Hannah Clapp fence around the Capitol? That is not being removed, or is it?
I was thinking we could just build a little, like, you know, monument in here. Would that be okay?
That's no. Pretty close.
Sorry. We're not touching it, no.
All right. Because there's the other fencing that was in Carson Street, the Hannah Clapp fence has an historic value. The other fencing that was on Carson Street, when was that installed, you know?
I believe it was in the. I believe it was in the early 90s.
96. We have heard from our park planner that was around then.
But speaking of parks and planning and things like that, give us a little, or give me anyway, a little better understanding of what we're doing in terms of electrical planning for the entire street, and particularly maybe Third Street, and also availability of water for landscaping along the entire mountain. Area.
Yeah, so from a big picture standpoint, one of the concerns a lot of event planners have had in our own city staff and putting together the Taste of Downtown and Nevada Day and the Motorbike Challenge and those sorts of things is that in our core area, the main power comes off of one pole off Telegraph Street over in this area, west of Carson, and then Proctor Street, there's one drop over in this area, and those are 50 amp circuits where they drop a box and then run the cords out. The request has been to update and expand those flexibilities as far as amperage and locations, and so the design team has included drops at each side of the street, one per block per side. And also then on Third Street, a drop off of Curry for its own individual power there. There's already 110 plugs in the street lights that we're going to continue. But the bigger concern is in the core and providing that big power, 50 amp 220 service. At one point we had talked about maybe having one on every single corner. But we've kind of pulled that back to provide one on each corner of each side. So if you look at that, right now there's two for all of downtown. Otherwise, you'd find a business that will run a cord somewhere. And they were also pulling off the panel for the old Citibank building as well. And they were happy to do it because it kind of helped the area. But so that's kind of the overview picture of what we're doing. We're still going to be providing the receptacles in the streetlights, and then there's also the flexibility since we're putting that trench in there, that if there was additional funds to do even more, you could add that in. But at this time, we've got the flexibility that we could do that. But at this time, we're quadrupling the power down there at this point. Oh, and then the water, there will be, I haven't specifically seen all the irrigation details, but there will be services off the main line for all of the landscaping and the sidewalks.
Yeah, so Mike Bennett with Loomis & Associates. So we are running separate, there'll be multiple zones. I don't know exactly how many zones we're running downtown, but there'll be running multiple zones, drip irrigation, spray irrigation for those small turf areas. And it will all be controlled off of one controller that I think lives today over on Telegraph. We're just going to be replacing that controller and servicing the whole area.
On my wish list, kind of, how about master grease receptors in this Carson Street? I don't know what that costs, and I, you know, but I've often thought about that issue, so to remove that cost from the local restaurants and stuff.
How's your relationship with Santa?
Oh. Well, I don't know.
What, at this point in time, the funding doesn't allow for it, but what we've talked about is one of two options if that was to be added in. One would be to provide an additional lateral outside the extents of this project. So, for instance, on the side streets, running an empty lateral, capping it there that you could route to there. An alternative would be mapping out four or five big interceptors. And at that point, you're kind of guessing what your use is now and what might be there in the future. Not to say it couldn't be done, but at this time, that's kind of what we're looking at to see.
Well, I appreciate that. I understand the magnitude of what I just asked. My last question is to give me a little bit of an understanding of what you're doing or have been doing and plan to do about talking to businesses and routing traffic and both car and pedestrian traffic during construction, how you intend to handle that, and what your feedback from businesses are.
Yeah, so probably a month and a half ago, we had sent out letters to business owners directly fronting Carson Street that would be directly impacted, as well as the property owners. Sometimes they're the same. And we had invited them in to come sit with us and talk with us. We met with about those sessions. We had about 12 businesses and properties that came to talk with us. We've also since followed up with another
five
since, where we've set an individual meeting with them and went down to their location. We also just last Thursday met with the Masons building there at Washington. And so we've started to kind of put together an inventory of operating hours, when employees show up, when they leave, how late they're there towards, when would be a good time to swap over water or sewer connections, when they absolutely have to have access and water, that sort of stuff. So most of all of the businesses obviously are worried about pedestrian access. So one of the things we've talked about with Q&D, and they've included in their work, is we've told them that they always have to have, I mean, unless a jackhammer is right in front of the door for 30 minutes, an hour, whatever it is, have some sort of access into their door. So what that's likely going to mean is that when the demolition happens and the sidewalk comes out, the traffic lane will be towards the middle of the street, and there will be some sort of plywood sidewalk with a ramp going to the door. So it'll be similar to coming around the corner from wherever they've parked. It'll just be signed and mapped to go along that plywood sidewalk and go into their front door. We've also been working towards having a real-time map on our website, carsonproud.com, so that week by week you can see where the impact is, where you can park, how to get there, what the traffic control looks like. And we've been coordinating with transportation staff on how we might beef up our road report for Carson Street during 2016. So we've been looking at coordinating with the paper, hopefully to include some of that information there, as well as carsonproud.com, Facebook. The other thing we have available is push notifications. If you go to our website, carsonproud.com, you can sign up for text, so we can shoot out information by text that way. And then the other thing we've heard from businesses is maintaining vehicular access along Carson Street. So we're working with Q&D on the traffic planning of how it's going to shift, but essentially once the utilities are in place, the traffic will be pushed to the middle, and then the sidewalks constructed, and then in the final paving phase will be when the most intense traffic control changes are going to be, because once we've shifted the traffic to the middle, we're just constructing at the outer edges, and as long as we're not impacting a left-hand turn or something, there should be north-south traffic available to go through there. The hours, we've mostly been planning on daytime work. Q&D's thrown out a couple of options for the daytime intensive business areas that we might go to either a double shift where there's a daytime and a nighttime to get through there faster, or just do a nighttime. The crux is that you have Jimmy G's Cigar Bar, which is a nighttime business, right next to Garibaldi's, which is a daytime business. So we're not going to make everything happen for everybody, but we're working with that, with Q&D, to see where they might be able to utilize some nighttime work as opposed to the daytime work. Also, I think I said before, but documenting hours of operation. Obviously, we're not going to be switching over a water service during lunch for the restaurants and that sort of stuff. So we'll try and do it in the morning when they're not in, or if they do breakfast and not dinner, we'll swap it over at dinner time, and so that sort of thing. Hopefully that answers your question.
Our colleague, Supervisor Sharp's in the back, and he's had difficulties with Carson Proud. Not that he's had them, but he's noted difficulties. Who's running Carson Proud? And just tell me who's doing that. And
so,
who's making sure that that's running properly or up to date, or just talk to me about it, please.
So our consultant, the Impetus Agency, runs it, and then they run it through me. I think the last time we had issues was possibly an internal network issue at that point, because we were having people from, like Mike at that last meeting, searched it, and then we kind of coordinated with Eric from IT to see what was going on there. So I think we should be able to access it all the time.
Danny, can you go back to the, well, you can leave it on this slide. You know, looking at in our packet, starting at 5th all the way up to William Street, right there in the median right there, it's a different color. Is that specific for a reason? And my other question that goes along with that, so all along through that corridor, you've got dedicated left-hand turn lanes. Was there a reason on some of the streets you don't have dedicated left-hand turn lanes, like Musser Street? I mean, that's a pretty good busy little intersection. And looking at the design here, granted, you can see the arrows, but you go up to Proctor Street, and it's a dedicated turn lane. Is there a reason behind that?
Are you talking about the continuous turn lane as opposed to the kind of the worm striping?
Yeah, if you look at, you've got the arrow, which is a dedicated left-hand turn lane at Proctor. Now go up just a little bit further, right there. Okay, and then if you go back a little bit further to the intersection of Musser, you know, granted you've got the arrows, but I would think that possibly on the busier of the intersections that you would have a dedicated turn lane instead of the off, you know, I'm not saying that Proctor's not a busy turn lane or turn street, but Musser, that's a major intersection with lights and everything, and I would think that a dedicated left-hand turn lane would be more efficient there than just to hop into the middle.
So both are dedicated turn lanes. This one right here is just a continuous, and this one on this side is striping it for capacity. So it's just a different method of striping here.
But I guess I'm just having a
left turn.
I'm having a hard time understanding why the turnout you have there at Proctor you're saying is for capacity, when I think the capacity at Musser would be a lot more.
That's exactly it. The capacity at Proctor, if you look, you could only get two or three cars there. But if you go back to the south side of Musser, kind of where the orange-yellow is, you could stack 8 or 10 cars there. So
okay.
That's specifically.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that. Okay. And then, Danny, I guess I'm going to piggyback as to what Commissioner Kroll said. My question I've written down is, in talking about the updates on Carson Proud, or this or whatever, who is ultimately going to be responsible for those updates? Is it going to be Q&D via through you, or are you going to be the one ultimately on a continual basis to update?
So anything there goes through me. So when Q&D has an update on a traffic plan and we want to update the map, they'll send me that information, and I'll be updating it.
And has there been discussion as to how often it's going to be updated? Is it going to be daily, weekly, or as necessary?
The thought is that we do right now a weekly road report, and in sticking with the weekly kind of blast, stick with that. But the way I want to set up the map is that it's sort of a Google Maps, quick to zoom in and zoom out. If there's changes midweek that we need to update that, we will. It just won't be, and then it could be a blast, you know, to the Facebook users or the website, but it won't be back in the paper. So right now it's weekly, but if there are changes, we can make them sooner.
And one last question in regards to the notifications for the public, for the consumer. How is this going to be relayed to them that they can go to this site, this? How are they? Are we going to put something, in the paper or just social media?
So I think you're talking about is generally during construction.
Even before, so that they can start getting used to looking at it, to be aware of how they can look as to how things are progressing.
Once we get that nailed down, I think we would definitely do a press release and see to get that in the paper. Carson Now, also posting it on the Facebook page with a little over 3,000 followers, also Instagram and Twitter as well. So I think all outlets that we have, once we have it kind of nailed down as to what to expect for the spring, later this fall we'll be able to start pushing that out.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Didn't work. Actually, in our package, it says it's something about a budget too, budget report. So I hadn't seen it until you guys put it on the wall. When you started putting this, you're at 60% now. Have you already started the construction drawings in so that you, when you're saying we're going to probably get this, we'll probably get that, you're working on the money as well as you are the design elements, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's correct. So the design drawings are, I think, 100-something pages.
77?
Yeah. Seemed like 100 when I went through them. But I wasn't going to put 77.
No, I understand that. I haven't seen them, so I'm just assuming that that's right. So that's the first time I saw the budget. So there are so many factors in this. It's a difficult one probably to keep the budget online. So I'm sure there's priorities that come in first, but all these different elements, and you talk to the private property owners and how that's all going to work, just seems like one of the elements that might be a big surprise, since those streets go back to the 1800s, is finding stuff you don't want to find when you're digging up the streets too, but which usually happens in older communities like that. But that clarifies it for me, but that's such a big number in the millions that I'm not in that business, but to get your budgets in line with it as you grow this project, it's probably a difficult task. So who reviews when you get those 77 pages? That must be your job. And then is the estimates being reviewed by you too? Is this, as they give those to you for the materials and parks, is involved with Vern and all those elements like that?
Yes, on the plan review, we've got operations staff that reviews it from if they're the water department, they reviews it, you're reviewing that. We've got parks reviewing it for the landscaping, irrigation, that sort of stuff, water, sewer, storm drain. Also planning takes a look from some of the HRC type stuff, and then as well as Darren and I and Patrick all dig in and take a look. So
you know, when you use the acronyms there, HRC.
Historic Resource Commission.
Okay.
So that same group goes through all the design, provides comments and that sort of thing. On the estimates, The design team has a pretty expansive database of recent bids of NDOT and Arizona DOT and reviews a lot of the unit costs associated with it and how this project may be different, whether they were using, the last 3 out of 4 projects were using this price from, those were in Southern Nevada, so we got to account for Northern Nevada. So they're a big resource for us. And then as well on the other side, Q&D can point out, know, hey, here was a project that was done in Sparks or Reno, and it may not even be their project, but they can take a look at those. And then as well, we have the resource of a third-party cost estimator if we need to. At this point, I think we're pretty well on track, so we don't have to, you know, we're not super far apart in what things cost, so we're pretty good on track at that point.
What makes this a little unique to me is that the contractor's working with you establishing where the budget is versus usually the city has a consultant work with them. They come up with some prices with engineering, all those things, then they put it out to bid. This is a little unique because your contractor's actually working with you to set the budget, which is a little different. So I assume there must be some authority in here how that comes to reality at the end here.
Yeah, so CMAR is definitely unique.
Say CMAR.
Construction Manager at Risk, CMAR.
Okay.
It definitely is a unique delivery mechanism. We're not using Q&D to set the budget. We're using our consultant as the design estimate to really work through those details. Some of the discrepancies and the differences between them is that, as you just saw with however many bids came in, they can all see it a different way. And so the idea with CMAR is to get a lot of those confusions out of the way so that, hey, well, when you said remove curb, I had curb and gutter and some of the sidewalk and some of the excavation there. Well, the design team had estimated excavation for just the curb and gutter and then excavations for the sidewalk. And so working through some of those things, we can work out some of those discrepancies. And then also the extensive database that the design team and we have for local costs to see is that a fair or reasonable price. The other thing with Q&D is with the CMAR process is we worked towards an open book cost accounting. So when they say this is what we think it's going to cost, they show us labor, material, and those sorts of things. So it's when the design team and the CMAR are in line, and the owner has reviewed that and is okay with that, usually you don't have to get a third party in. Sometimes you've got the CMAR that's saying it's going to be a lot more expensive than the design team thinks it is, and that's where you a lot of times will get a third party cost estimator in to say, well, engineer's a little low here, but CMAR's a little high here, and work out some of those issues.
That's a great. You've talked CMAR before, and then I kind of understood it, but now I'm really understanding how it all works. But there is a mitigation factor built in that I wondered about that hopefully doesn't become a cost to the contract. But so far, you're sitting right next to each other, so it must be working fairly reasonable at this point.
Yeah, I think so.
If they're sitting on the other side, we need to worry, I guess, probably.
Yep.
So I, the power thing, I had a little experience with music and stages, and I had a 200-amp panel, and they still had trouble with it sometimes, but for Third Street. So I'm surprised, but it's a 220-50 from what you said. They were pulling power that I wouldn't believe for lights and sound and stuff for concerts.
Yeah, so the actual panel itself will be a lot more than 50 amps. Oh. Just each drop
I got you.
Where they place it will be 50 amps to get the power where it needs to go.
Okay, because I thought that wasn't a lot of power along there. But yeah. Thanks for all that, and it helps me understand that whole process with the CMAR much better when you're getting to this level of construction. And the budget's still kind of pretty open, but it's easy to vote on at this point because you're at 60%.
Danny, can you forward to the slide that shows Robinson Street? I think it's the next slide. Right there. So it shows improvements around the block where the ice rink goes, and then it also has the two streets, Robinson and the next street to the south, Spear. It shows those as part of the project. So are there street improvements being made, or is that just for illustration purposes?
No, that was just for illustration purposes. I should have pointed that out.
I was
originally
hoping that you found a way to incorporate that into the budget.
That would be nice, but at the time we were coordinating with Capital Mall and trying to come up with the right-of-way line being here, and really in this area the grades were the concern. So we had just shown it as being constructed in a similar timing, but really the Curry Street and the Carson Street sections were what are included.
So the street improvements that are shown, as well as the sidewalk and landscaping improvements that are shown on Robinson and Spear, are not part of the plan?
Correct.
Okay. We might delete those sooner rather than later.
Yep. Mike says yes.
Are there any other questions of the commissioners?
I forgot one.
Go ahead, Mark.
You talked about March, and you're talking to the private businesses along there at March, but that might be a little optimistic, but maybe not from QMD's construction history. Because if you push them much farther back, you're right in the primary season for the businesses, and they might be a little disappointed.
Yeah, so starting that early, the best way they felt to do it was being able to get the utilities done early, because you can do that as long as you don't have a major snowstorm right in the middle of it. But even then, it's a lot easier to maneuver and manipulate around that schedule as opposed to trying to pour concrete in early April when, you know, who knows what the temperature could be. So they feel pretty comfortable with that. There's going to be some construction during the summer. That's also the best time to pour concrete. So there's not going to be no impact, but we're trying to limit and mitigate all those that we can.
Danny, speaking of major snowstorms, have there been any changes between the 30% design and the 60% design in the location of snow storage or in the methods of removing snow? Because the last plan is it's going to be deposited in the parking pockets, and then if necessary, it'll be hauled out by a truck. Is that correct?
Darren Schultz, for the record, yes. Our goal is it depends on how much snow we get, but if it's less than 6 inches or less, we would probably plow it to the middle of the street and then scoop it out as we go. If it's a bigger snowstorm than that, then it would be temporarily housed in the parking pockets and then hauled out.
So that's the same as the 30% design?
That's right.
Okay, thank you. Any additional questions? All right, I'll open this up to public comment. Is there anybody here that would like to speak to this issue? Come on up, Doreen.
Good afternoon, board. I would like to say, first of all, that you guys are doing a wonderful job and that I feel that it's very important that communication is wide across the board for everybody. I am... my business is Lofty Expressions. I'm an interior designer. I'm also president of the Downtown 2020 group. We've been working on this for years and working with the businesses to keep them informed as to what's going on. It's very important that during this process that we all are working together to keep all the businesses informed and the public and the general public. On our Facebook page, we've been updating with what you've been putting out there for the flyby and the whatever videos we can get. You've been really good as far as responding to any questions that I've had. To keep that rapport going, to give us any updated information as it comes out that we can put on our website and possibly have public meetings so when people can come and discuss any kind of concerns that they have. This is going to be a concern for everybody as far as businesses go. Anytime there's any kind of change, there is. So it's really important that we keep this information going out there, and access to their businesses is going to be huge during this time. And we just hope that between what you're doing and what we're doing, that we can keep them informed and hopefully promote the businesses downtown to keep people from, you know, to come down here during this time. I do want to clarify some things because I came here a little bit later. I see that there's two cars per parking space. Is that correct? For the most part, except for one that was four? Okay. The other was, let's see where I have that. Do you have anything to do with the placement of the trees? Is that you at all? Okay. Comma Coffee has requested and asked numerous times, and I hope that we can put this into the plan for them on 4th Street, where they had trees and they were taken out, and it's just totally increased their heating, their electrical bills with air conditioner during the summer, that we put those trees back on 4th Street on their sidewalk there. And there are cutouts in the concrete for that. So I am requesting that if you would please look into doing that. And I think there were three trees that were there. And that's basically it. And like I said, everybody's worked really hard on this, and I just want to make sure that we keep communication going and real clear between businesses as far as what's happening, what we can do to support them during this process. Thank you.
Thank you, Doreen. Is there anybody else here with public comment on this item? Seeing none, I will bring it back to the commission and entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Danny, go ahead.
Real quick, I forgot to mention when Mayor was asking me about the businesses. One of the things that we're looking at doing is something a little different. A lot of times we have a public meeting like this, and there's somebody that wants to ask a question of Q&D or the design team, but they may not want to get up on a podium or whatever, and they might be a business owner. So what we want to do is mid to late October, have some sort of either open house or mixer or something where we may be able to capture some of those businesses that haven't been able to come meet with us and have Q&D there available to start those relationships. So we're still working on what the details are, but I'm going to hound Mike. He said he might be able to donate some wine for it, so we'll see.
I think that that's a really good idea because under public comment, we shouldn't be interacting with people anyway. We should just be taking down their comments and then responding to them after the fact. So if we have an open house, then it can be interactive and you can actually respond back and forth with anybody that has questions. So I think it's a great idea. Now I will entertain a motion. Doreen, you need to come up to the podium.
I have discussed this idea with the businesses, and the ones I've talked to just think it's a great idea. Since we're working so hard on a timeline that we're starting this together and it all ends at the same time, that we could have some sort of a downtown grand opening where all the businesses are open and we do a whole downtown kind of segment on a grand opening of everything. And I think that would be a really positive thing for everybody. So that would be a real good goal to work towards. Thanks.
Thank you, Doreen. Is there any additional public comment? All right, Mark.
Yeah, I'll make a motion. Yeah, actually, that's one of the benefits of CMAR is that you can have a partner bring wine to an open house, I guess. So let me recommend the commission action. I move to accept the 60% design and budget report for the downtown streetscape project.
Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, vote nay. All right, it passes unanimously. Moving on to item F4, information on the 10th anniversary of the Jump Around Carson Transit System. Are you taking this, Patrick, or no, Graham?
No, that's me. Thank you, Mr. Chair. October 3rd, this coming October 3rd, will mark the 10th year anniversary of the Jump Around Carson Transit System. To commemorate the milestone, Jack will be providing free rides on all of its fixed routes on October 5th, which is the first full day of service after the milestone. And then we'll also be giving away special promotional items, 10 years of service, as you see here. I'll just briefly highlight some of the successes experienced over the past 10 years. Jack has provided more than 1.5 million rides. The current annual ridership levels of over 200,000 rides is more than double what it was in the first year. Through a program sponsored in part by the Aging and Disability Services Division, Jack provides over 70,000 free rides to seniors on an annual basis. In September of 2014, that was the first service expansion experienced by Jack. Jack coordinates with four other regional transit systems. They all run out of or near the transit center at near Robinson and Plaza Street there. In addition to providing increased mobility and independence to many citizens, Jack brings federal funds to the city which would not otherwise be available. Some of these funds have even been used to enhance projects like sidewalks, the Public Works Fleet facility expansion that was just recently done. As a result, Jack has certainly been successful in establishing itself as a valuable part of the community, and we look forward to the next 10 years. And I'll take any questions.
Do any of the commissioners have any questions?
I just have a comment. Graham, just, you know, reading through just what you did, is this something that's going to be let known to the general public on the accomplishments of Jack over the 10 years?
Yeah, we'll have a media release, and, you know, we'll have our different events throughout the year that we'll be at. We'll be, you know, promoting the service and notifying everybody of the 10-year anniversary and the accomplishments and everything. So,
thank you. Along the same lines that Commissioner Smolenski said, you know, sometimes you see a Jack bus with one person on it, and people will say, hey, you know, what are you doing running a bus with one person? I think it's important to let people know, you know, what the increase in ridership has been, because it really has been rather amazing. Frankly, in a sense, it's something that I wouldn't really have expected, the magnitude of the increase. And I think we need to let people know that. Also, you know, and I know, you know, sometimes I will tell you, some of the buses look like they're getting a little shabby in terms of their paint.
I'll take this one. Right. Just so you know, part we do have the ability to repaint buses. Additionally, they do get dirty from time to time, and one of the benefits that we have of the new fleet building is that we now have a wash bay that's going to help us do a better job of keeping the buses clean as well.
When's the wash bay
open? It's open for business, right? Yeah, it's open for business now. So it just recently came online.
Because it seems like some of the paint on some of the buses looks like it's faded. Now maybe they're just dirty. I don't know.
We do have the ability to repaint buses as okay. necessary too.
My primary point is the same as what Jim said, is that this is an important part of creating a more pedestrian friendly community, and as we go through life, the importance of the Jack system is just going to get more valuable and important for our community as we go forward. And I think we need to let folks know, you know, it runs pretty well on its own here with grants we've got and things like that. And I think, you know, we need to celebrate that a little bit more than we have in the past. Okay?
One simple question. When I was on the state bike board, we got reports all the time from Vegas on the number of bikes that were on the buses, too. Don't they have bike racks on those? Do they keep track of that, too? And I assume that number is up, too, I would guess.
They do have bike racks on all the buses, but there's no record of them.
They don't keep track of them, huh?
No.
Yeah, that's a big deal in Clark County down there, because that's one of the elements that helps support that system down there. Sure. I mean, there was we were amazed by the number of bikes that were put on the buses down there. Maybe you could look into that and see.
That's certainly something to
give them a little pad of paper. Use them one of the little pointers there. They can figure the number of bikes they put on there.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Darren, I assume that the bus facility, in addition to a wash bay, it also has a detail bay facility?
It does not have a specific detail bay, but the wash bay is going to be 100 times better than what we've had in the past, so buses will be clean.
Well, what I'm thinking, talking about painting them, I would suspect that a little polishing compound and a little detailing instead of the expense of a full paint job probably would go a long way.
Yeah, I really think the majority of what the mayor is alluding to is it needs to be washed and scrubbed and waxed, and it will shine again. We just haven't had facilities to do that, but we do now. So,
great. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, this is a information-only item, so we do not need to take action on it. So we will move on to item F5 for possible action to adopt a resolution authorizing the donation of retired Jack Bus 4228 to the Carson City Boxing Club.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you may recall, last month we brought to before you the decision to award this Jack Bus 4228. We announced that it was available for donation. We received two applications. The board members just decided last meeting to award to the Carson City Boxing Club, and so we are bringing before you the resolution that would formally transfer that ownership to them. And I believe there's members of Carson City Boxing Club here that may want to say a few words.
We'll entertain questions from the commissioners first, and if there are none, we'll go to public comment. Come on up, gentlemen. Please identify yourself into the mic.
Michael Peralta, owner of Carson City Boxing Club. Well, second owner. My dad is the official in the second.
Omar Meborn, partner in the organization and member of Carson City Boxing Club.
Yeah, tell you guys, thank you so much for that. It's going to help us, you know, move the kids and keep them more motivated to come into the gym. We're trying to keep them, you know, off the streets and out of drugs and gangs, and so that's our main things to do, to bring them to the gym. And seeing that big old bus, we're like, oh, we're part of something, you know. So thank you guys again.
And you may not be aware of this, but there are actually two applications for the bus, one from Henderson and then yourselves. And the commission felt it was important to make sure that it was a local organization that got the use of the bus. So you're welcome, and I hope you put it to good use.
Thank you, guys.
Where is your facility located?
It's off of 3579 Highway 50 East, right next to Slot World. We've been inside there since 2001, and we've owned Carson City Boxing since 99. So
you're at the ICE storage complex?
Yeah, storage.
Are there any questions? No? Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Is there any discussion on this item amongst the commissioners? If not, I will entertain a motion. And if you could include the resolution number, too, please.
Do you have the resolution number, Mr. Chair? Okay,
we have it.
Let me see. Where is that? I move to adopt resolution number 2015-RTC-R-2. Authorizing the donation of retired Jack Bus 4228 to the Carson City Boxing Club.
Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor vote aye.
Aye.
Opposed, vote nay. Okay. All right. Passes unanimously. Thank you, gentlemen. All right. Moving on to item F6. Information on a modification to the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization and RTC's Federal Transit Administration Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program. Dirk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So every 3 years, the FTA does a review of what we're doing with the funding. And so during this year, they did a review and they found two deficiencies with our DBE program. As you said, DBE is Disadvantaged Business Enterprises. And so one was that we had a lack of monitoring, and so we are modifying our program to fix that, and we are adding a forum and collecting additional information so that our staff can go out to the construction sites and monitor the DBE firm and make sure that they're doing the work that that the contractor said that they would be doing. And the second deficiency had to do with timeline of consulting. Our program didn't specify our consulting process, so we added a timeline that said that we would start a consulting process 4 months before we propose a goal. So we made those changes to the program, and that's the changes that we're making to the program. If you have any questions, I'm available.
Do we have any questions or comments from the commissioners?
Go ahead, Jim. So once these corrections, if you will, have been made, is it then reviewed again prior to adoption, or?
We don't. One thing we did find out from the FTA this time is that we don't need approval, but we think it's important to bring it before you guys. So we'll be bringing any change to the DBE before you. That's a significant change in the program. And in the future, I think 2017 is when we'd be going to do a revision of our goal, and we'd be including the ROTC as well as CAMPO.
So in this, the language that's in the DBE, it's FICES, it's okayed and everything?
Correct, yeah. We actually received official approval this morning from FTA.
So, Dirk, just to clarify, the Federal Transit Administration told us that staff can make corrections and that you don't need to come in front of the commission for approval, but staff's position is that if it's a material change, that you will bring it in front of us for approval.
Yeah.
Thank you. Is there any additional questions or comments from the commissioners? All right. This is also an information-only item, so no action is required. So we're moving on to item F7 for possible action. To accept the work as completed, to accept the contract summary as presented, and to approve the release of final payment in the amount of $5,772.50 for contract 1415-103 titled Western Nevada College Sidewalk Project to Justin Wilson Construction, LLC.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll take that one. It's basically what it is. It's just closing out this project. We're happy to see it's completed. It's been on the books for a while, an agreement that we had with Western Nevada College, and so we've fulfilled that obligation. They're happy with the work, and the project did finish under budget. And I would note, I believe a question came up about the bid item adjustment for about $3,000, and basically what that is a combination of different line items that they overbid, and when they did the work, whether it be cost of materials or whatever, actually they did it for a price less than what the estimate was. And it is actually a combination of about five different items, some concrete in the curb and gutter, the driveway aprons, some pedestrian ramps, and so that's kind of the cumulative total there.
Right, and I had just requested that the bid adjustment sheet be included as part of the package so that we can see it as we review the packet.
Okay.
Are there any questions or comments from the commissioners? Go ahead, Mark.
I was just surprised to see this come in front of us. Usually when a contract's awarded, I thought that pretty well gave staff the permission to make all the payments. So is that normal part of business before you guys pay anybody off?
Yeah.
Maybe I need to rephrase that. The press is gone. I'm all right.
Yeah, we typically every contract we do that the RTC awards, we do bring it back for final payment. So
it's mostly to accept the work. So we need to accept the work before we give them their final payment. Okay, are there any questions, additional questions or comments from the commissioners?
Yeah, I do have one.
Jim?
Since you basically said that we need to accept the work as completed, did we accept it? Is it meets the specifications?
Yeah, so what this means is city staff has accepted it, and we're recommending to this commission that you accept it as complete. Yes.
All right, is there any public comment on this item? I see none, so bring it back to the commission and entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion. I move to accept the work as completed, to accept the contract summary as presented, and to approve the release of final payment in the amount of $5,772.50 for contract 1415-103 titled Western Nevada College Sideway Project to Justin Wilson Construction, LLC.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor vote aye.
Aye.
Opposed, vote nay. It passes unanimously. All right, before we move on to item G, I just want to note that I did not allow public comment on item F6. So if any member of the public has any public comment on item F6, I will allow you to speak now. And seeing none, we will move on to item G1, Street Operation Report.
Thank you. I'll take this one. Particularly in light of the item F1 from this evening, which was the direction on the funding that we're going to be using for street maintenance, I want to just highlight that our crews continue to do a lot of work and will continue to do a lot of work complementary to the work that's going to be done by contractor as well. And I did ask a couple of pointed questions about some of the things on the report. For example, under street repair and maintenance, you'll note that there was some street patching operations that did take place. And while that's a wonderful thing, it's it was primarily related to other work that was going on. For example, if we had had to do a cut for a utility, or if we were fixing a sidewalk, we had to patch the asphalt back. It was not primarily for actual just standard pavement, you know, correcting problems with the pavement that was out there. So we'll be looking to do more of that work going forward with that funding. Even under the grading and shoulder maintenance, we had dirt road work that's listed under there. That as well was work that our staff did in concert with a contractor that was doing some work down on Arthur and on Roland, doing it as efficiently as possible. Chairman noted that under stormwater and the activities of sediments removed from ditches, that is indeed 30 yards. That's how we measure that. There wasn't an indication of that. And once again, as I mentioned last month, there's always a very impressive list to me of the signs and markings, just the volume of the painting and signs that that those folks do is really quite impressive, at least to me. If there aren't any questions, I'll move on to item G2.
Who does all the weed control in the right-of-way? Is that Parks or is that your staff?
Who's?
Yeah.
Okay. Streets Division does that.
There's a couple guys. I'm probably, you know, when you drive around town, I've seen the same two guys. I've never seen them take a break. And they're disgustingly dusty and dirty, and they're mask-upped, and they don't stop for anything, and they're in some of the crummiest right-of-way weeds you'd ever want to be in, and they're using hand equipment instead of mowers. Those guys need an award at the end of the year for that or something. I can't believe the amount of work I've seen those guys perform in conditions that are just unbelievable to me, because they're using hand tools instead of power equipment or something. Just a point, and I don't know who they are, but I've seen them at least 20 times out there and never stood still for a second.
Well, we can make sure that they get the recognition they deserve.
Maybe we could buy them a power tool next year.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, you're going to come back and ask for that now, are you? Are there any additional questions on item G1?
No.
If not, we'll move on to item G2, product status report.
Thank you. Item G2, east-west water transmission main, that was actually just recently awarded by the Board of Supervisors. And it's important to note here, as we have in the past, that there will be significant impacts to traffic, and we will certainly be it'll be signed and notified appropriately. And I will note that this also came up at the Board of Supervisors meeting. While this project goes on Washington Street, from right by the library to Phillips Street, there will be, in the next 2 to 3 years, two more phases to continue that water main west of Phillips Street. William Street, path improvements. I am happy to report that project is substantially complete. We look forward to bringing back a project closeout after we deem the work acceptable, of course. And we look forward to bringing that to you. And I invite anybody to drive by and take a look. It's on the south side of William Street, east of Solomon and west of the freeway. And I think it looks really nice out there. And they did a good job on the different driveways for the businesses. Long Street sidewalk improvements are still underway. That's a project being funded by CDBG and Federal Transportation Administration funds. It seems like every time I go by, they just pour some more concrete. So they're making great progress out there. And this is on Long Street, just east of Carson Street on the south side of the road. The Clear Creek Avenue Sanitary Sewer Extension Project, that one is still underway. It looks to be done at the end of October. I'll note that we have had multiple meetings with the Stewart community, the Wash Oak Tribe. We were there just last week, Tuesday, myself, the project manager, and someone from our operations staff, speaking to them about the project and also about changes to signage that are going to be coming afterwards. For example, there's going to be a school zone there, their Head Start facility, and to discuss with them their concerns about speeding in that area on Clear Creek Avenue. Division Street roadway repaving, that was just awarded this evening. Very eager to go forward with that, and obviously do it the year before before we start work on Carson Street that was discussed also this evening. Carson Street freeway multi-use path is under design, still in the early stages of design, but looking forward to that. And Long Line was already finished up this year, and we'll see you again next year.
Great. Are there any questions on item G2? Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, actually, the Clear Creek Avenue, I see it's alternative. I was wondering if you're going to put some traffic calming in there or something, because they kind of ended up being a thoroughfare to get to the freeway there. But now I've been starting to take Center Street out, coming into the upper shopping area up there myself. And it's been under construction there, and that's actually the deputy from the tribe loves to sit right in there. And that's a different kind of ticket when you're on tribal land. But is there any traffic calming or anything along that street? Now it's going to be nice, beautiful new pavement to go through that area. And that.
Well, there aren't any traffic calming devices per se. I mean, we are making it a safer facility with, we are having bike lanes and sidewalks going to be put out there. And we are reviewing, tomorrow we're going to be meeting again to review what signage is going to be placed out there. We are going to be placing traffic counters after out there after it opens to see what we're getting for speed conditions and working with law enforcement, both the sheriff's office and the tribe. And we've discussed all that with the tribe last week. And notably, this is obviously, you know, a good year away, but once the freeway does open, there will be a lot of changes on a lot of streets, you know, including roads like Clear Creek Ave.
Well, then in Center Street going out, is the contractor going to fix that one up out to the subdivision? I call it Center. Hopefully that's the right name.
Oh, you're talking about to the south.
Yeah.
The improvements that the developer is going to be making will be phased in, you know, with the project as the project is phased in. And they are making substantial improvements to Topsy Lane. And they're also going to be making improvements to Bigelow. There are some improvements to Center, but they're located pretty much adjacent to the development. They're not all the way up. Like the Topsy ones actually go all the way out to US 395. And actually, when you get to a certain phase, the southbound 395 will actually have a double left turning on the Topsy. You can see that it's set up to do that. So it's not a big conversion. But yes, all those things are planned for. But the Center Drive improvements don't go all the way up to Clear Creek Avenue.
I should know this, but where are we on the Vista Lane
stuff? Yes, Sierra Vista Lane. We were awarded FLAP funds, Federal Land Access Program funds, and of approximately $2 million. We're in the scoping phase right now. The Central Federal Lands is coming to town next week. They had planned to be in town for a couple of days, and now fear of a government shutdown, they're going to be out of here by the end of September 30th and home, and they'll see what happens tomorrow or next morning. So the answer
is... I'm sure
is,
they leave their $2 million here.
That's right. I'm sure they won't be affected by a shutdown. But the answer is that we are in scoping with them. We've been working with them, and they're going to be meeting with our staff, importantly, Rob Fellows, Chief Stormwater Engineer, and also Parks and Open Space staff next week, Wednesday, to discuss moving forward. And then the findings of that scoping are going to go before the Project Development Committee, which is the body that includes Federal Highways and NDOT, as far as scheduling when the project will proceed.
And also, on the freeway completion, where are they on the schedule? At schedule, ahead, behind, do you know?
I have not heard of any. I think they're doing just fine for schedule. I think it's still a matter of, you know, it will certainly be impacted by what the winter holds, and I can't say that I go to all their weekly meetings, but I do know enough that I've talked to the project manager, the resident engineer that's managing it, and she shared, you know, some details, like people, obvious things that people can see is that the trucks are running, you know, the dirt up there, but they're running that conveyor belt. I mean, that thing was running 6 days a week, and it was running again yesterday. So they've moved a lot of dirt, and they're being smart about how they're proceeding.
All right, we will move on to item G3, future agenda items.
Let's see. We We have several contract closeouts to bring to you. Little Lane, the Little Lane reconstruction project was completed. The William Street project that we just discussed, we are going to look to also have the another one-year extension of the advertising contract we have with the Nevada Appeal for the advertising on the size of the buses that generates this revenue. And I think this is actually going to be at the Campo meeting next month, but you're all going to be here for that as well. Lee Gibson, the director of the Washoe RTC, is going to personally come here and talk about the benefits and the impacts of gas tax indexing that Washoe County has been experiencing since, I believe, it's 2008. They did it before anybody else in the state, and of course Clark just recently started, but they have a wealth of experience that no one else in the state does, so we're very happy that Lee has agreed to come down and see us next month.
Do we have any future agenda items from the commissioners? Seeing none, we will move on to item H, commission comments. Are there any commissioners that have any comments or reports to make at this time? No, no, and no. All right. We will have final public comment at this time. Is there any member of the public that would like to comment? Seeing none, we'll move on to item J, and I will accept a motion to adjourn.
Move.
So moved. We're adjourned.